So what they do, you basically take picture of your face, they analyze it
Yeah.
and recommend what you may benefit from and recommend products on this. But they go further because they not only sell you these products, they allow you to keep a journal by taking your pictures of your skin every week, let's say, so you can show progress. So they're becoming, they're not selling products, they're selling service of getting better skin.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at the independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm, Elevate IQ. There is no question that ChatGPT is extremely powerful, but who knew that it can even browse the web? Which makes it harder for commerce brands who were already struggling with the heavier lift required to enable e-commerce. But it also offers tremendous opportunity for brands who are willing to capitalize the AI capabilities, as once AI is fully rolled out, capabilities such as search and chat might see a huge merge in functionality, as the search experience is likely to be conversational in the future. In today's episode, our guest, Michael Vox, discusses how AI will impact e-commerce. He discusses the impact on both front-end as well as back-end, the changes we are likely to see because of AI. Finally, he describes several examples where AI is likely to have most impact, such as deepfake, personalization, and configurator. Let me introduce Michael to you. Michael Vox has led product development at several major e-commerce platforms, vendors, Hybris, Spryker, and ElasticPath, and helped many customers innovate and move their business online. He is now using his experience to help businesses upskill their teams in digital commerce and develop innovative roadmaps to unlock their growth potential. Michael is the creator of the Digital Commerce Canvas framework and author of the course Digital Commerce for Your Business. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and I think last time when I had you on the show, and there are very few repeats on this show, to be completely honest, okay? So you are definitely among top 10 right now, I guess. because I like you so much. Your insights are always very detailed, which is what I appreciate, to be completely honest. And that's why, I'm always willing to talk to you, always trying to learn from you. So I know that you have a book that we are going to discuss as well. But before we do that, let's refresh the understanding of our audience with your intro. Do you want to provide the intro if our listeners may not have had a chance to listen to the previous episode that we had done with you?
Sure, yeah. So I think the most interesting part probably for your listeners is that I'm doing e-commerce for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
Mostly on a vendor side, I was really privileged to lead development at three major e-commerce platform companies.
Yeah.
I was CTO of Canadian company ElasticPath, head of commerce in product management of Hybris SAP Commerce Cloud, VP of product at Spryker, a number of other companies in between. So that's kind of really gave me a lot of perspective on different type of e-commerce, mostly for a larger client, but both B2C, B2B, services, you name it. I think I worked on e-commerce in all different aspects of it, in all different industries. And in last 4 years, I'm focusing on spreading knowledge about e-commerce, because both you and me know, and you are contributing a lot to this. There's a really kind of skills gap that preventing many big companies to be successful in their implementation. Yeah, there's not enough knowledge. There's not enough expert specialists. So I created training courses for B2C and B2B e-commerce. Actually, two types of training courses. One is for business people, for sales, marketing in e-commerce agencies or in larger organizations that want to do digital transformation. What is e-commerce? How you use it? How you transform your business to do it? E-commerce channels, you name it. And the second type of courses are for implementation team. So, for example, e-commerce agencies are using my courses to onboard all the people. Yeah. Again, for B2C and B2B. And as all of us, I got really curious and excited about artificial intelligence and how it affects e-commerce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I created first course on this and then I wrote the book. And I think this will be a topic of our conversation is, okay, there's e-commerce, there's artificial intelligence. How they was it going to be look like together?
Yeah, so that's a very humble intro. You know, you have done a lot. There is no question there. And obviously, you are very, very, very credible and knowledgeable in the e-commerce community, which I definitely appreciate. Now, obviously, we are going to get into the book as well as, you know, your perspective on AI, which is definitely a hot topic right now. Everybody is talking about that. But before we do that, so we are going to have a little fun here, right? So I don't know if you remember your own episode that you had done. And I don't know whether you remember that the second question always that we ask is going to be your perspective on business growth. So now we are going to test, you know, whether you had the same perspective last time. So listeners, I mean, go back and check, you know, we need to hold Michael accountable for his own perspective. So now he's going to share his perspective and we are going to cross check with the previous episode, what he has done. So, Michael, tell us, you know, what's your perspective on growth?
Yeah, on growth?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah? Okay. I have two. One is, and I honestly don't remember what I said several years ago, but we're all learning and we have right to change our opinions, yeah?
Yep, yeah.
But right now I see two, my perspective. One is B2B e-commerce.
Yeah.
There's just so much to do. There's, we're removing all boundaries and so on.
Yeah.
And the second, it is actually artificial intelligence. It's going to change dramatically our lives and our business and our industry. Yeah, and I even posted recently that I believe that e-commerce vendors who don't go kind of all in into seeing e-commerce, and I'll give example later on what that mean. I don't think in 5 years they will be relevant. I honestly think that it's time to get your stop just doing marketing talk, stop just doing demos,
yeah,
but really get into it and see where you can put AI across your entire feature set.
Okay, so very interesting, very interesting, and always good to learn from you and from your perspective. So now let's go back to the AI topic. I know that you have written the book. So in your experience, what are you seeing, you know, from the e-commerce perspective? We all know that now it can be content, and obviously that's definitely I mean, that's given. I mean, anybody can talk about. But what I am looking from Michael is slightly deeper intel.
I think it's maybe not deeper, but broader.
Yeah.
What I really wanted to do is, because we're all reading about, okay, we can generate a description with ChatGPT, or we can optimize this and think and all of that. So what I tried to do is to look at like an entire spectrum of what our e-commerce system doing,
yeah,
where can we do and see where AI can be applied.
Yeah.
And I really separate in two main categories. The first one, and I think it's getting most of the attention, is how artificial intelligence is going to improve customer experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's everything related to customers, super important, directly related to revenue, But there's also the second part, because how artificial intelligence is going to make people on the back end more productive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is a kind of unique technology that is going to do kind of two balls.
Yeah.
Improve our bottom line, make it operations more efficient. Yeah. Improve margins because people at the back are more productive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And change customer user experience.
Okay. Yeah?
So this kind of really two parts in the book, two parts in the course. Yeah. So maybe let's start from user experience. Yeah. Because
yeah,
it's obviously yeah. a customer experience. This. Yeah. So, I think one of the biggest part is what I call product discovery.
Okay.
How people are going to find the product. Yeah. So we both know that search is a really core technology behind e-commerce, but search, even with some smartness that added to it by special vendors, is still kind of keyword based. Yeah. While AI is actually can understand intent of the customer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did experiment. I went to Amazon.
Yeah.
And asked, what computer should I buy?
Yeah.
Just type in Amazon search box.
Yeah.
And I got a result page. On the top of this somehow was a book, How to Get Rich.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There was a Livono computer somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I went to ChatGPT and repeated the same question.
Yeah.
ChatGPT asked me, how you want to use it? Is it going to be office computer? Is it going to be a gaming computer?
Very interesting.
So we actually had a conversation about this. Yeah. So this is really a change of perspective, which I think will completely revolutionize, for example, e-commerce search.
Yeah.
Right now, when you're coming to e-commerce, you usually have search bar somewhere on the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the bottom, you have this annoying chat character that says, hey, chat with me.
Yeah.
Is AI running our search? Why should we have two of them? Why they should be separate?
Yeah.
There's new vendors who are already kind of rethinking this and saying, hey, you search for us, you discover it.
Yeah.
Let's have conversation, not just keyword search. So basically, this chat is going to merge with your search.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
Because I don't know, Sam, if you remember, I'm definitely old enough to remember when Google had separate box for URL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Entering link.
Yep.
And search. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And they merged.
Yep. Yep.
Because they kind of became smart enough to understand the difference when people are using. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So I think the same will happen there.
Yeah.
The other thing I see is that there's visual search.
Yeah.
So the companies are saying search by image. Yeah?
Yep, yep.
So this is another piece that will be added to the same search box.
Yeah.
You can type, you can talk to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get image and then as a part of this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're having this conversation. You basically, this chat assistant is going to offer you products. So products will appear or product categories will appear just as a part of the chat.
Yeah.
It's now kind of using Slack and you could put documents there. You can put different things there. Yeah. So this discovery is definitely going to change. And one more notice and recommendation to everybody. This current annoying chat character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually they have pre-programmed questions.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you're using different terms.
Yeah.
Then it's pre-programmed too. It's kind of not very useful assistant.
Exactly.
And you have now this kind of, it's a stupid guy I'm talking to, yeah?
Exactly.
Because we have emotions when we interact with
a site,
yeah? So I think that now with people are actually getting experience, what does it mean to talk to smart chat agent?
Yeah.
I think people really, if they're implementing this chat, they need to go for a full-blown AI-driven solution.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, this feeling I'm talking to the some not so smart person.
Yeah.
It kind of reflects on your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things there. There's even some research done, or the guy who researched how people he does surveys.
Yeah.
How people find about products.
Yeah.
How people find. And in the last half a year, he started to see the answer of ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So a really small percentage, but he saw the trend.
Yeah.
So the question comes, People usually use ChatGPT on more kind of generic term because before it was also trained only on old data. Now it's actually trained on more up-to-date data. I think the latest update was, spring of this year. Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
And it also can now browse the web to get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so far people were using, okay, what gift I can give to my wife?
Right? Yeah.
This is a question that you people can ask. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question for e-commerce marketers is, how do you make yourself a brand that easy to find on ChatGPT?
Yeah? Exactly. Yeah.
It's a completely different question than how to do SEO optimization kind of and things like that. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is, again, there's visual search, there's voice search.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this product discovery, e-commerce always had a problem with personalization.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of trying to use our best technology and best knowledge, trying to do kind of more custom segment-based personalization, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you imagine the most personalized experience you as a shopper ever had, most satisfying experience, probably what will come to your mind, not browsing website.
Yeah.
But coming to the shop where there's a very knowledgeable sales assistant who looks at you, understand who you are, even look at clothes that you're wearing and kind of do them, you look where you're browsing, and then provides you really personalized advice in conversational ways.
Yeah.
So I think that's where AI technology kind of allows us to go and truly achieve this personalization, really one-to-one personalization versus one-to-segment person, even technology, for example, now if you're chatting with using conversational commerce, which definitely will be pushed up in adoption by artificial intelligence, it can determine your voice. Is it female talking? Is it male talking? Is it maybe younger person? Maybe in some accent, So a lot of information and a lot of kind of personalization can come.
Very interesting. And there are a lot of layers that I can hit on right now. I think the first one that I would like to attack is the whole search plus chat box marriage. I guess that's probably the most interesting one. And I know that there are competing technologies or tools. People were sort of trying to attack this from many different perspectives, but they were sort of limited in their capability. So that's why they had to do many different things. So I'll tell you a couple of different examples, okay? So number one is going to be sort of these workflow tools, and they were trying to, they had the enterprise search, but they were saying that no, we are not competing with them. This is guided search. This is very different. Okay, you have search, players such as Algolia or, the newer ones, I guess. And then you have the guided search vendors. I think Zubu is one that they were doing, and they were not sort of married, but now you
are complex products. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. So now in your mind, you are seeing this marriage. Now, the third or fourth dimension that I'm going to bring in is obviously any of the CRM marketing automation tool. They were also doing, the way if you talk to them, they are going to say, hey, I am actually trying to provide this conversational experience. Okay, I have these questions, and the marketing automation tools could configure a lot of different questions pre-programmed, as you know, and then you are sort of walking them through journey, and then you can actually swap out. I think Optimizely was doing similar things as well, that if you have to swap out based on the whoever is interacting with your interfaces, then you can change the experience as well. But obviously that was limited. So now in your mind, all of this is coming together, or are these technologies going to be augmented? So describe a little bit more what you are seeing from your perspective.
I think something definitely changing. Complex product, I think it's still even using the same technology, but it's still the same kind of, we have CPQ and configurable products.
Yeah, CPQ is another
one.
So
I think if you go this direction, you have this B2B, and definitely this, because basically it's all for getting advice.
Yeah.
I'm buying complex product or complex configuration of the product.
Yeah.
How do I get it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And here again, conversational can be super useful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to replace the person, but it's going to at least guide the person to point where, again, experienced salesperson can go and add to it. Yeah. So Definitely this virtual assistants. Again, it's the same kind of technology, but in different context.
Yeah.
When you either providing product discovery or you're helping customer to diagnose the problem or you're helping customer to understand what they're buying and do recommendation, that maybe combination of bot and live agent. Yeah.
Yeah.
But other thing is also artificial augmented reality.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous thing that people are doing to the augmented reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we see a lot of innovation in this area as well. And it's definitely related to B2B, important for B2B and complex products. For example, there's one company, and of course, I'm very bad with names, but I don't remember its name.
Yeah.
But what they're doing, they basically take a physical object.
Yeah.
Let's say this bottle or bottle of drink. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they allow customer to point a phone and up to this product.
Yeah.
And they immediately bring a lot of extra information about this object. For example, demo they have, you have a can of soda, and there may be video NBA player is inside this can. Or there's nutrition information about this.
Yeah.
And there's a buy button. And And just think about in a complex environment, I have this equipment. This is my machine.
Yeah.
I want to buy spare parts.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing my phone on it.
Yeah.
It already gives me a lot of information. Give me advice. And you can combine this technology with getting advice from salespeople or pre-trained bots. So augmented reality, I think it's another technology that will help to sell complex products online.
So just to be clear on that description, the one that you are trying to describe, you are not scanning a QR code and getting the information. You are scanning a real object or a person and you are getting information about that, right?
Exactly, exactly. So you don't even need QR code. Yeah, QR code is our already kind of well-used bridge between online and offline. Yeah?
Yeah.
In this case, you're actually showing real object. And this object becomes alive with some additional information, maybe with some additional marketing information.
Yeah.
But also becomes shoppable, becomes researchable, discoverable. Yeah. So that's another very interesting approach to use when we need to sell complex products or provide extra information, kind of in physical environment. Yeah.
Right. And how is this technology working, I guess? I mean, I probably need more details there. So is this going to be that they are simply, let's say, taking a picture? I mean, I would love to have that, to be completely honest, because yesterday I had a problem. Okay. I was listening to a journalist and I really liked him and I wanted to follow him everywhere. You know, I wanted to read everything that he was doing, but I had no way to find out. I tried to search based on, okay, CNBC, this particular segment, you know, where is this guy? You know, who is this guy? I want to learn more, right? But I could not do that. It was very, very, very hard for me to find out. Now, if I can take a picture and if I can find everything back there, then that's a huge plus for me personally.
Definitely. I think right now they're asking if you want to have it. So you basically take your physical object, you make multiple shots of it.
Yeah.
And then this company allows you to develop kind of template in their software and also specify what operations you allow around this.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then they render and prepare this image. And you can insert it in your mobile app, or they provide you mobile app. I don't remember. Yeah. But augmented reality through the phone app. Yeah. And there's many examples we already know and use, like in IKEA or in some other furniture vendor, you can place place furniture into your environment. Yeah. Or I think Mayflower is this. You can point it on a couch.
Yeah.
And they can suggest replacement of this couch from their catalog.
Ah, very interesting. Very interesting.
So it's it's another way to discover products.
Yeah.
And it's very contextual.
Yeah, it is very contextual.
And it's very personal. Yeah. So the same kind of, again, I point to machine or I point to my printer.
Yeah.
And they tell me what cartridge I need to buy for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't need to search. I don't need to explain to everybody. It's super convenient. So I think this augmented reality kind of in another way discovering product, providing more content as well. Yeah. Of course, if you're talking about fashion, there are such things as virtual fitting room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like one company. I'm using a lot of examples in the book, not because I'm not associated with any of these vendors. But I wanted to get people kind of creativity going.
Yeah.
To see what can be done, so they start thinking what else I can do. So for example, there's I really like one company who are selling skin caring products. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they do, you basically take picture of your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. They analyze it.
Yeah.
And recommend what you may benefit from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And recommend products on this.
Yeah.
But they go further because they not only sell you these products.
Yeah.
They allow you to keep a journal.
Yeah.
By taking your pictures of your skin, let's say every week, let's say.
Yeah.
So you can show progress. So they're becoming, they're not selling products, they're selling service of getting better skin.
Yeah, yeah, no, I
yeah,
agree.
Like, I think this is basically where, because we are not interesting, we're not buying some skin care products.
Yeah.
It's not the goal. Goal is to have better skin.
Yep, yep, I agree, yeah.
And that's what kind of, I think that's a really interesting approach. And they, of course, using AR, as well as companies that develop model of hand, really artificial model of hand.
Yeah.
And because they have this model, you can try jewelry like ring, or nails, on your hand, and then you basically turn your hand, and you can see how this ring will look at you, on you, on all different things. The same as with I think necklaces they're doing on that. Yeah. So so there's a lot of things really, I really like that it's solving the main problem of e-commerce that we cannot, you're having better experience online, offline in a shop.
Yeah.
Because it's a physical environment, you're trying physical things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I think it's actually going to, this difference and this reach become smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And maybe at some point we actually can make a richer environment online than offline.
Yep.
This will be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree. So I think there are layers that I want to take on. So obviously the personalization is big one, and I can see a lot of advantages there. I'll offer some examples that I have seen personally, to be completely honest. Okay. So when we talk about the app, such as your Shazam, I guess, right, for music, as well as the whole QR code experience in the restaurant, right? So right now, I mean, I personally hate it, to be completely honest, because I'm a guy who needs to hold a physical menu. Give me a real menu. Why am I scanning this now? You know, and then I'm looking at the menu. I may not have battery or whatever. So, you know, I still like that physical experience, to be completely honest. OK, but now 90% of the people are not going to be like me. OK, so I am off here, OK, with respect to experience, because the implied expectation is that, you know what? QR codes are cool. Everybody has phones. Nobody should be, you know, keeping menus because obviously COVID-19 happened. And, you know, because of that, everybody sort of rafted that I'm not touching anybody's paper anymore. So now this experience has changed. Now I can see a lot of advantages overall based on the augmented intelligence that you're talking about, right? So not only you can scan the menu from the QR code, but you can literally order right from there, I guess. You know, that could be the added experience. Now, on your comment related to personalization, I like the way it is headed or where it is headed, especially, and I don't know how that is being enabled, I guess, you know, that's going to be based on deep fake, you know, and that's a hot topic. And I don't know how regulated that is going to be because there are serious risks with deep fakes, to be completely honest. Okay.
Of course. Of course.
But I mean, deep fakes could be powerful with your personalization, right? But they could be dangerous as well, you know, because now they can mimic the voice. I mean, I consider myself as reasonably smart guy that can figure out spams, calls, spams, you know, and I should not have any problems. But if it, no.
It's there's a lot of dangers in AI as well, including e-commerce. Actually, I also talk about this. For example, fake reviews.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are companies who are working on artificial intelligence to solve this problem as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of actually data that you can collect to analyze if this review is fake or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're talking about a lot of data, and machine learning is much better than human.
Yeah.
To do it. Yeah. The same as a fraud prevention overall.
Yeah.
Quite often, retailers are going kind of a bit on the cautious side and rejecting quite legit purchases and basically losing revenue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a fraud prevention on payment side. There's also a lot of advantages there and a lot of new development.
Yeah.
So merchants really need to check what functionality the payment providers built in. Into this, because definitely can be done. Yeah. Then, because in the book, I really try to analyze it from all aspects of e-commerce. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For example, like there's of course support agents. Yeah. And we talked about advising part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also getting very good at responding on standard questions and doing in localized and personalized way when I'm asking where is my order.
Yeah.
They if this. Already trained on data of this merchant, they can basically know who I am and get me my order. Yeah, but also like multilingual customer support.
Yeah,
yeah. Now it's so easy.
Yeah,
because not all of customers speak language. They want to buy from the brand.
Yeah,
but maybe I don't know. English is not the first language, or the coming from different country.
Yeah.
So why not have a selection of language when you're talking to either to real person or to support a bot and have conversation this way? Yeah. There's even kind of things like I think Amazon actually implemented this recently or planning to implement. We all love customer reviews, product reviews.
Yeah.
We actually trust them, and especially younger generation trust them as much as a personal advice, as a friend advice. Yeah. But there's so many of them, yeah. So one of the things that AI is doing is creating summary.
Yeah.
So it's not removing the kind of details in each review, but in general we all struggle for time.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm going to filter it. I'm going to read through all reviews of hotels with how the bed is there. Yeah. Or you can get summary. And I can probably tell what I want to know, and summary can be modified for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's another interesting aspect where we can put it to work.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I do like, summaries by ChatGPT a lot more, to be completely honest. Yes, there may be some biases at times. Obviously, you need to know how to read between the lines, even when you are using ChatGPT. But, I mean, they are probably better than, human interpretation, because we all are biased as well. We are all biased to our experiences, right? So you are never going to get the real insight.
But in case of customer reviews, it's really just generate summary.
Yeah.
Don't provide information, just save me time.
Yeah.
I can read the summary. Maybe talking about saving time, maybe it's, also looking at the clock, maybe we'll switch to the second part of the book.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Where I'm talking about how you boost backend operations with AI-driven optimization. Yeah.
Okay.
Because margins in e-commerce are not that high.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both know that it takes a lot of efforts of very talented people to make it working on the back end. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question how we can also improve productivity of these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well as some of these aspects, you make them do better job, for example, preparing catalog.
Yeah.
Then it's actually going to affect revenue as well, because better product data and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So catalog product data, I think this is one aspect that covered in the book. And also now I joined the company as a chief product officer, a company called The Layer, where we're taking it on using AI to optimize product data when coming from different vendors and different sources. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically you can enrich text, of course.
Yeah.
You can change, optimize it for each channel.
Yeah.
Let's say you're selling almost the same products, but one brand is for teenager, other brand for more mature audience.
Yeah.
Language, how you describe the product should be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also optimize automatically. Think, let's say you can discover more product attributes.
Yeah.
From images, from all description.
Yeah.
And if you make this, because usually this information is not structured.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have description of the size
Yeah.
inside description. But because it's not attribute, you cannot filter by it.
Yeah.
You cannot do facet navigation by it and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely discovering more product information, mapping it into your colors, your sizes, your companies that solve size problem. Because all fashion brands have their own sizes.
Yeah.
What's a medium in one brand doesn't mean that it's going to fit you if you usually medium. So then there's, you can save time on product merchandising.
Yeah.
There's companies that using AI do smart dynamic bundling.
Yeah.
They look at, they analyze sales data.
Yeah.
They analyze what people are buying together and kind of things like this. Yeah. And instead of you as a merchandiser creating bundle, they may create bundle on your behalf and then test how it's going and kind of doing. And not only create bundle, but create pictures for this bundle, because usually if you're saying, selling two products in bundle, you need to have separate picture that these two products together. You can change description. So this dynamic bundling, I think, is really a fantastic way to sell more.
Yeah.
Based on the data.
Yeah.
And it can be done automatically now because you have description of both products. You just need to combine, and AI is perfectly fine of doing this. There's tremendous amount number of companies and opportunities there to increase images.
Yeah.
Remove background. Identify multiple products in a picture and make each of them shoppable. As well as generate images. But generating images, you kind of need to be very careful because, yes, you can generate this Midjourney image, but in e-commerce, people expect kind of the image reflects the real product. And there should be a lot of discount. But it can be inspiration, definitely can be. So data preparation, huge opportunity there. Many companies struggle with bad data.
Yeah.
Or data that's not inconsistent.
Yeah.
And lost revenue. No question about this. So definitely AI can help us to better data, product data, better images, better merchandising. So that's super great opportunity, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I can see there are a lot of possibilities and definitely things are going to change the way we shop, the way we discover the products, I guess, you know. So we are going to have a lot of opportunities, but obviously there are going to be risks as well. So time flies with you when I'm talking to you, Michael. So I think we are close to, you know, our time now. Do you have any sort of closing thoughts, advice for our listeners?
Of course, get my book. It's called AI Powered E-commerce. It's available on Amazon as an ebook or a printed format. It was super interesting and engaging conversation, Sam. But at the same time, we probably covered one third of the topic where AI can apply. It also it's really a fast developing field.
Yeah.
That it actually delayed me publishing book because every day I was discovering new examples of new use cases to do it. But at some point I need to stop it. But at the same time, there's a lot of new information coming, new opportunities coming. I compare AI to basically at least mobile revolution in e-commerce. Yes, we have constant improvement of e-commerce, new things coming along, but we haven't had kind of this explosion. We haven't had a revolution since mobile came. Now we do. And this is why I think that like the first people who really manage and learn how to use search engine optimization, they become a king. I think the same will opportunity with AI. And you feel late, you may be missing the boat.
Could not agree more. And my personal takeaway is going to be very similar, to be completely honest. And I am going to have a little disagreement there. Okay. You know, this is definitely much bigger than mobile, to be completely honest. Okay. Mobile was great, but this is definitely going to have massive changes. It may be comparable to either search engine, the way, you know, search engines were. It's going to have as massive impact based on the different scenarios. And obviously, it depends upon the regulation, how the regulatory bodies are going to be controlling this, but it's definitely powerful. It's definitely going to change the way we do business, sure.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'm comparing it to mobile just because that's the last revolution that we had.
Yeah, I agree. Really, I agree.
But I agree. It could be much bigger.
Yeah, perfect. So once again, thank you so much for your time, Michael. This has been a powerful episode.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me, Sam. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you would like to learn more about his book, head over to commerceisdigital.com/AI-commerce-book. It's commerceisdigital.com/AI-e-commerce-book. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to get you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.